Call me old man Waves.
Damn you, old man!
Wait.
Old ass man.
Shut up, old man. You smell like fart.
No. Man.
Old man.
Wait. He's so old, he got a podcast on cassette.
Fuck, you're old.
Damn it, Wade.
And welcome to the Old Man Wade Show. I am your host, the God of Stubborn, the Lord of Laughter, the apparent petty Old Man Wade. Unfortunately, my co-host, the pinnacle of political perfection, Super Bowl Kavi, is out with his wife doing fun relationship things. My wife, my lovely life, she's with her niece. They're talking shenanigans, and then there's going to be taco and movie night. Yes! But I am lucky enough to have someone I've been dying to interview since the first time I saw her comics on Instagram. They've cracked me the fuck up. I've shared these with a ton of people, and I'm happy that randomly out of nowhere I get a direct message saying, "Oh, I'm sorry, I saw this. I would love to do the show." So, why don't you tell everybody who you are?
Hi, I'm the Red Dot. yeah, I've been doing comics for almost 2 years now on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, all that stuff, and. Basically, we boil it down to, I have a mascot that's a talking butt plug. That pretty much, that's it. Yeah.
And you've already got a running for, I have a mascot that's a talking butt plug for the episode title. So
that works for me.
So it was funny. So I caught on, I think maybe like a year and a half ago, I think is where I found your comics. And so I just started going back, and I was like, this is funny. But I was like, why is it called the Red Dot? And then I came across that, and I was like, oh, okay. So tell people why it's called the Red Dot.
Basically, like, my husband, he's super smart. Like, he went to college in Cambridge, England, and he has 2 PhDs, and one of his PhDs is in English, and then he has a master's in poetry. And while we were dating, we were on our way to a spot, and we were just talking, and I was on my period. So I decided to kind of joke with him and made a off-the-cuff poem about bleeding. I said, composed by the Red Dot, and then a few months later, I made the comic and just kind of stick it to him. I decided to call it that. So there's a bit of, not malice, but yeah, he rolls his eyes anytime I say that I'm a more successful poet than him.
I won't lie. That is pretty fucking funny. But so your character, so the character's name isn't your name. It's actually just Dot, right?
Yeah, she didn't really have a name until actually like 5 months in when someone asked me her name, and she's always been like a caricature of myself, pretty much. Like there's no denying it. But when someone asked her name, like, oh shit, Dot. Her name's Dot. So. It just worked.
So what made you come up with the comic? I know that you're, the people listening may not know, but I know from watching, you're an artist. You're an artist, and not just stuff that we've seen on Instagram and all your other social medias, but you're an actual artist. So what made you actually want to do the comic strip itself?
So personally, like, I've always dabbled in stuff. Like, I get interested in a subject and, like, I go all out for, like, 15 minutes. And for drawing, like, I've always drawn. I've always doodled. I actually had, like, a little notebook in middle school where I made comics, and it got passed around the school, and people would write on the blank page, like, little notes. So this was right before MySpace and Facebook and all that shit. But when it came down to the comic, I wanted to actually focus my interest into a single hobby and get better, because I'm okay at shit, but I'm not good at shit. So in January 2018, I decided, okay, I'm going to draw every day and make a separate Instagram for it. And I'm going to get better and make myself accountable by posting. And it just kind of snowballed from there.
And now we have the red dot.
Yes.
All right. So you've already brought it up, so I have to know. Gary. Where did that come from? What, like, for the listeners who don't know, Gary is a green talking butt plug.
He's adorable.
He is. He's absolutely adorable, but he's a green talking, sarcastic butt plug. One of the first ones that popped in my head was I think you were going to Mexico. And he said, I'm not bringing you. I don't have anywhere to put you. And then it was like, really? And the look on Dot's face was phenomenal. So where did Gary come from? If that's not too personal a question to ask.
He really came out of my ass. I'm sorry. Very early on, like, a lot of my jokes were just hypersexual because I'm a sexual person, and I love making it normal for women to have sex jokes, but I was just hyper-focused on sexualizing everything, and I'm also a big Disney fan, so in my head, I was just thinking, okay, Beauty and the Beast, what's the most fucked up thing we can think about here? It's like, what if one of Beast's servants turned into a butt plug and enjoyed staying a butt plug? And that was Gary's first comic. So Gary does not want the spell to be broken and is very heartbroken that it's going to end. And that sounds so deprived when I spell it out like that.
Says you. Okay, let's call it like it is. Disney cartoons are fucked up as it is.
Oh, totally.
So, the idea of a butt plug isn't that far-fetched. And then the live-action Beauty and the Beast, as much as I loved it, was even more fucked up seeing CGI versions of, like, candlesticks and plates and shit.
Oh, yeah. Who's fucked up to get the toilet? Like, who gets to be the toilet in that? Like, if you think logistically, it's bad.
Oh, God, not even just a toilet. What's the, imagine if you end up having to be, like, the loofah.
Oh.
I mean, at least a butt plug, you're like, all right, I know what I'm doing, I know what's going on, it is what it is. But, like, if you're the loofah, you're kind of... Nope.
Yeah, there's so many smells involved, crevices, just, it's not good. Yeah, you know, when you really think about it with Disney... As much as I love it, there's problems. So many problems.
So I wanted to make sure I just made up. You brought up the idea of, like, you know, normalizing hypersexuality or just sexuality in general with women. And it's a conversation that comes up with me and my wife a lot. Like the song WAP. I fucking love this song. It's hysterical to me because, like, the wordplay is great and the idea of just, like, women saying it. I'm like, I fucking bump that shit. I love it. I love Cardi B. I mean, I love all her music, but I love her for who she is. So when WAP came out, I was dying laughing at everybody just getting, like, excuse me, men getting so upset about what they were saying. And so it made me promote it even more because, like, are you really going to sit here and judge Cardi B and Meg Thee Stallion for her music when we've had Too Short, Snoop, Dre, 50, and, like, a host of other rappers, and then it's not, like, let's not get into, like, Led Zeppelin and the shit they've said, you know what I mean? So, in your opinion, why is it the way it is? Because my first thought is just, like, the insecurity of men who just don't understand, like, hey, women like to fuck, too.
I think you're totally right. Like, it's taken a long time for people to understand that sexuality is it's a two-way street. Like, women have appreciated getting off as much as men forever.
Yeah.
But for most of history, when it comes to sex, it was more of a familial and a duty thing rather than I get to bust my own nut. So let's fast forward to early 1900s when they developed the, pretty much the vibrator, because women were hysterical and doctors were giving them manual manual orgasms to the 60s, where women were allowed to have, not allowed, but enjoying sex just as much as men. It just, I feel myself going down a rabbit hole, but basically, I just think guys don't like the fact that women get to have as much fun as them, and it's not as sacred as they want to make it. Like, they can fuck all they want, but I'm not here just to make a baby. I'm just here enjoying my time.
Which, then the concept of, like, when you hear someone going, like, the idea of someone wanting a virgin, like, wanting one actively, I'm like, I'd rather have someone who's experienced. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, you get it that, I'm like, no. I want someone who knows their body. And then the idea that, like, having the conversation about it in general is sometimes frowned upon when you're like, hey, what do you like? What don't you like? To me, that's actually some of the most fun that you'll normally have with your significant other when you're actually finding out about that. When you do something and they don't like it, and then you switch it and you like it, you're like, yes. It's almost like a puzzle, almost. You know what I mean?
Oh, totally. Like, I lost my... Okay. Real talk. I lost my virginity at a younger age. I personally think I was 14. But I had, like, caveats. It has to be in a bed. There has to be flowers. There has to be candles. Like, there was just this big old ritual around it. And it was literally the worst sex I've ever had. So there's, like, just this pressure on giving it to someone. And I totally thought I was going to marry this dude. I haven't talked to him in almost 15 years now. But when I met my now hubs, like, I totally thought I was just going to fuck this guy. Like, I just wanted to have sex. I just wanted to get that dick, and it was going to be a great time. And then it turned out to be like, holy shit, I really like this guy. It is, oh my God, amazing. I need this dick one more time, and one more time, and one more time. And 4 years later, I'm married. It's very interesting. So I think I am very fortunate to be a lady in the time that I am born, where I get to experiment and play around and be vocal about it. But it's still not enough, because, like you say, WAP is, people are being triggered by women talking about women, how men talk about women for fucking ever, you know?
Yeah.
That sucks, but wet ass pussy all the time. I actually have a comic about that. I'm hoping to come out next week.
Yeah. That makes me happy. So you talk about, so my wife always makes this joke. She may have said it on the show, and people listening will hear this. But the first time we met, it was her 25th birthday. Her car broke down. She was shit-housed. She had taken, I think, 7 shots of tequila. She was a fucking mess. And we met each other. I was supposed to go home, and we're talking for a while, like, we're having a good time. I was like, oh, she's hot. I cannot wait to fuck her. But she's but she's drunk. So I'm like, yeah, no, I'm good. So later on that night, I have a friend of mine. I was like, hey, can you contact your... because he was going home. His then-girlfriend was driving my wife and her friend home. I said, you should probably check on to make sure they're okay. And so she calls, and then I hear my now wife in the background, hey, tell him I want birthday sex. And then I go, is she still drunk? He goes, yes. I'm like, then that's a no. So the next day, I find her on MySpace. And she denies my friend request. So I'm like, eh, whatever, no big deal. A couple weeks later, a buddy of mine says, hey, she wants to know how you're doing. I said, well, tell her she know how I was. She accepted my friend request. And so later on, I think maybe like a month later, we set up our first date like 2 weeks later. Mm-hmm. And long story short, we have a conversation. She's over my house. We're talking. We're having a really good time. And on the way home, she talks to me. She goes, oh, you're really, like, you know, she goes, oh, you are the person. Because you know how it is. You meet somebody, say one thing on the phone, but it's different when you meet in person. And so she goes, oh, you're a really good person. I really just wanted to hit it and quit it. And it's funny that you say that because literally that's what it was. It was just like, you know, like it was just supposed to be like, in my mind, I was like, oh, I can't wait to fuck her. In her mind, oh, I can't wait to fuck him. And fast forward 12 years later? Yeah, fast forward 12 years later, we're married. And it's funny that, like, again, like the idea of like sex can actually lead to a meaningful, like, relationship.
Oh, yeah. Like, I think, personally, at the time when I met my hubs, the pressure was off. Like, I was newly divorced. I got married at 20. I'm from a very small town, so I got married at 20. I was supposed to have 5 babies by 26. I was going to be a stay-at-home mom. But 24... I'm divorced, I'm in California, and I was just going to be a hoe for the rest of my life. And then my fucking bartender puts the moves on me, and I'm married again. I'm totally happy. It's just, it's funny when you let go of, like, the goalposts. Like, there are no goalposts anymore. You won the game. It's great.
And like you said, like, and it's funny where you find it because, again, I never expected. I was actually against meeting women at clubs. I went through my whole phase. My wife loves saying, she loves telling people, look, yeah, he was a hoe, which, you know, it's true. But, like, I've never had a one-night stand. And I was like, I just don't, that's just not my thing. Mm-hmm. But it was funny that, like, you know, you said you find love and like and lust in all, like, the most random of places. But is it, I don't know, because, like, I know, because, like, within my circle of friends, we all differ. Like, me and my best friend, we find it attractive when we were single and a woman would hit on us or they were sexual towards us. And some guys is like, oh, I don't like, what do you mean you don't like that? You don't want to feel sexy? I was like, I love feeling sexy. Fuck out of here with this. You know what I mean? So it's kind of weird when, like it's 2020, and yes, is not much has changed, but the idea of sex, and it's like, you can't talk about sex, like, if you're a woman, and it's like, it's crass, and it's just, I'm like, yeah, but you have sex, right? Yes. Okay, so why can't they talk about it? They're just titties, and it's just a vagina. It's not that serious.
Seriously, like, my family, very conservative. Again, I grew up in a very rural area, but, dude, grandma fucked to get mom. How else am I going to, like, how are we going to talk about this? She didn't just pop up out of nowhere. And grandma, I hope to God she enjoyed it because she had 2 other kids after mom. It just, I hate avoiding it because everyone does it. Like, and to think that women don't enjoy it just for the birthing process makes me really uncomfortable and upset. So why not celebrate, like, it is what it is. Like, hopefully it's mutual and happy and stuff comes from it.
Oh, stuff comes from it.
Yeah, so 9 months later.
Oh, I was just talking about the nut, but, you know, that that works.
Yeah. The nut leads to a little dude, I guess.
Oh, speaking of the nut coming from stuff, so date number one, I've said this story a million times, but it's always funny to see people's reaction. So date number one, when me and my wife went out for our first date, she goes, all right, I want to get this out the way now. If it's going to be serious, I need to know something. She goes, do you want kids? I go, absolutely not. She goes, good, me neither. Last year, I got my vasectomy. Super happy.
Good for you.
Yeah. And again, I say that because, again, when people the idea was like, well, you have to have kids. I'm like, I don't have to do anything. Fuck you. And then it's like, why do you... And then my homegirl, Charmaine, she always says, it's incredible how much people want to know about my reproductive organs.
Seriously. It just... First, kudos for you for taking the step to getting the procedure rather than your wife, because it's so much more intensive than getting a vasectomy. Even though I get it, like, the pride is there. But, dude, if me and my hubs are talking about going child-free, and if it happens, it's going to be on him. and if it has to, I'll get it too. But, like, there's just, it's night and day in terms of procedure.
Like, oh, yeah. Absolutely. And the biggest reason was, like, she was on birth control forever, and her doctor was like, well, this isn't good for you. She was like, would you mind getting a vasectomy? I'm like, I don't give a shit. And she was like, and I was like, why do you think I would care? She goes, oh, the stigma of it. I was like, I don't give a fuck. He's like, I'm less than a man for getting a vasectomy. Not, like, nah, my gentleman parts still work. Like, you know what I mean? If anybody's going to knock me for it, fuck them.
Oh, no, you're still shooting, like, you're still hitting the target. Who the fuck cares if it's blanks? Like, it just, no, that's cool.
So, on the subject of sexuality in your comics, like, I actually can tell you the first comic I actually saw of yours, it was, you were sitting on a chair, and you were explaining how I think you said your mother had an issue with your hypersexual comics. And then the last panel, the shadow was essentially a dick and two balls. And it cracked me the fuck up. So the reason I bring that up is, so it's not even, like, not just, like you said, you come from a conservative family, but not just your parents, but how do you weave through the idiot comments in your section? Because I've noticed that you are interactive with the people. And me personally, I don't read my comments section at all. Like, if it's not a name I recognize, I tend to just keep scrolling. So how do you weave through that and, like, still keep your sanity in a sea full of idiots?
That's a good question. Because it honestly depends on the platform. And I would be lying if I said that I don't respond out of just general interaction. I first responded to every comment in the beginning because it helps me in the algorithm. Like, more engagement means more people see my content. And then the more that it went on, I was generating relationships with certain accounts and, like, oh shit, I know your name, how you doing, stuff like that. But then I started to branch out in other platforms, or the more time goes on, you have other comments. Like, Reddit is a fucking minefield. Oh, like, God. Oh, man. I love Reddit so much. I want them to love me. But it's like a... It is truly a hit or miss on how people see you. So, when seeing the negative comments, if I have the control, like, on Facebook or Instagram, I only take comments down when people are hurting each other. Like, if it turns it into personal insults or something hateful, that shit gets knocked down immediately. When I can't control, like, on Twitter or Reddit, I listen, and sometimes it's constructive, and I honestly take it to heart. Like, people don't like this because I'm giving away this without the punchline, I totally appreciate it. But there there has been times, a certain time, my hubs came home, and it's 3 o'clock in the morning because he works at a restaurant and a bar, and he does bar management, and I am bawling my eyes out because someone posted my comment on, what was it? Like, I'm not like other girls, I think that's the subreddit. And it had 5,000 upvotes. And it stopped from being, this is a cliche comic, to, she's a dumb bitch.
Whoa.
And it got bad fast. And I read every single one, and I was kind of dying on the inside. And I was still pretty new But it fucking hurt. So what happened was I gilded the post. I gave the guy platinum. I spent $10 and I gave that person platinum. And on Reddit, like, they don't know who gave you an award unless they reply. And they replied and they're like, oh my God, thank you for my first award. And then I wrote back and I said, you're very welcome. And they saw it was me and they apologized. So I kind of got my revenge, but basically I'm like, hey, thank you for calling out my bullshit. It was a cheap and easy comic, and I want to be called out on my bullshit, but I won't lie and tell you I was hurt by some of the comments that were left saying I was a fat pig. So,
Jesus Christ!
See, Reddit, man. Reddit's great and terrible. It's an interesting place.
I was actually having a conversation with my therapist about Reddit. And we were discussing our, like, love-hate relationship with it. I was like, Reddit is YouTube for people who can post dick pics.
Oh, hell yeah.
It's not 4chan bad, but it's pretty close. You speak about comment sections. So, excuse me. As I mentioned earlier, I don't read them. My Facebook page for the show... we pretty much vet everything. I control, the F-bomb on homosexual community. I don't allow it. Hate speech, I don't allow it. I posted something after the Breonna Taylor verdict, which was complete and utter bullshit, dropped. I posted something saying, something along the lines of, this is what they think of us. And I was going to sleep because I got to go work for my overnights. And I text my co-host. I was like, yo, Javi, can you do me a favor? Can you just monitor this to make sure no one says anything nasty, and if they do, kick them off? Because I'm not dealing with that. It's a place where everyone can escape just for fun, and have wholehearted conversations about things. Like, you know what I mean? If you have a question about Black lives or women or LGBTQ community, even if I can't answer it, I know somebody who can. So when I read comments on my writing for the websites that I write for, I remember my favorite one was a guy who wrote a 2-paragraph, 150 to 200-word comment on why my article was bullshit. And I'm reading it, and it was so well written. And then he ended with, fuck you, fuck this article, and go fuck yourself. And I have promised myself that when it comes up on Facebook, I'm going to save the picture, I'm going to print it out, and I'm going to have it saved. And I'm going to keep it somewhere, and I'm going to immortalize this, because it is the best comment I've ever heard in my life, I've ever read, because it was cohesive, it was insightful, it made me think about the article, and then he ended it and ruined everything he just said with that. So I stopped reading comments, and I read one a few months ago. And I'm on there, just going, oh, you little motherfucker, if you would have read the fucking article, you would have... And I'm just angry, because every point they made, I'm like, I made that point in the article, if you just fucking read. And then my wife's like, what are you doing? It's like, I'm reading comments. She goes, why are you doing this to yourself? And so I was like, yep, this is why I don't do it. And it's funny, because, the comment section is either a gift or it's an absolute curse. And I'm going to assume that it's worse for women, because people will just... Trolls and just ignorant people go for the jugular. Like, you could look like Charlize Theron, and they will tell you look like the Wicked Witch of... Like, they'll tell you look like the Green Witch from Snow White.
Pinpoint your worst insecurity and screw it to the wall. I don't think it's just women. I think it's anyone. I think on the internet, and we hear this enough in bigger media, but regardless who you are, you think you're anonymous online and what you say to someone with a larger account will never see it. Oh, no. I fucking saw it. And I cried myself to sleep on it. Like, I've gotten better after a certain pinpoint with the comment section. I don't look anymore. Like, after a day or two, I stopped taking notice. Like, okay, the comments seem constructive. It's not hateful. People aren't killing each other. I'm just going to let it go. But I don't go back after a certain amount of time, because that's when you get people that don't follow the content, that don't know you, that come in and will fucking tear you to shreds.
Yeah.
There's no point at that. Like, oh, great, you saw my content. Thanks for commenting and boosting me up on the algorithm. Fuck you. But it's just, it is what it is. People just do that without realizing, like, you're truly hurting someone or, like, messing with their brain. It sucks, and I've had to curtail what I comment online because I realize, like, there's not enough context. I can't tell you where I'm coming from without being hurtful, so I'm just going to shut my mouth and not do it. Like, I don't want to hurt people for no reason.
I was actually talking to a buddy of mine about that today, about how a lot of times I'll see something, and the one thing I love about Twitter and Instagram is you can filter what you see. So, like I have Fuckboy45 blocked.
Fuck that guy.
Yeah, fuck him. So, like, there's a certain, it's like, I was like, if you, like, I was like, I don't see it. And so, like, a lot of my timeline is filled with porn stars, comic book writers, comic book artists, comic strip writers, and one of my, it's like, so it's, and it was cool when I found out, fuck, I can, there's a Dilbert, a Garfield, and a Peanuts Daily, and it was like, it made my fucking day. So, like, I, like, my Instagram and Twitter are just completely, like, full of, like, happiness. And every so often, I'll come across a person, and they'll say something, and I really want to comment and have a dialogue about it, but it's like, you only have an X amount of characters, and I'm like, I'm just gonna like it and move on. Because even when you really feel something, it can come off a certain way. And I've gotten to a point now where I want to, like, if I'm asking a question or making a short statement, I always put in parentheses, not sarcasm. Because some people will read this, and I'm like, nope, not sarcasm. Because I understand what it's like when someone says something, and it can be taken the wrong way because you're not actually speaking to the person. It's just, you know, words on social media.
Yeah. I don't know if this is out of nowhere. Like, I love the comic Dilbert, but you know the guy that writes it is a, like, he's a dick.
Oh. I did not know that.
He's kind of a white supremacist thing.
Oh, okay. Thank you for that.
He's really big on Snapchat. I love Dilbert, and when I found out, like, I'm like, no, that can't be true. And then I saw a couple of videos by the creator, and I'm a person that tries to be, like, separate the art from the artist, but the guy's really extreme.
So the funny thing about it is, so, and it's funny, one of the first ones I quote, it was the red cat, and he was like, we've asked a question. We added a question to our interview. And he goes, how do you feel about Black Lives Matter? And the guy goes, well, I feel all lives. He was like, get out. It's one of those weird things where...
It could be different. The last I heard of him was a couple of years ago, so I kind of checked out. So if he had a change of heart or I was misinformed...
But, you know, the funny thing about it is, it's one of those situations where, if we're going to be completely honest about things, sometimes people say, fuck shit. Yeah. And sometimes you have to be accounted for the fuck shit you say. So, person who I will not name, because if you're a white supremacist, you can wholeheartedly go fuck yourself. If you are trying your best to redeem yourself, because there was a wrestler, Randy Orton. He was an All Lives Matter guy. Right around the time Breonna Taylor was murdered, he was like, I get it. And he apologized for being who he was. So I'm all for redemption to a point. Some things I don't think you can be redeemed for. You can't be redeemed for rape. You rape somebody, no, you can't be redeemed for that. I could be more okay with a murderer than I am a rapist. That's just one of the nastiest things in the world. But, well, that also depends on the murder, but that's neither here nor there. Long story short, it depends on the person. And, like, if this is going to be one of those things where, like, now I'm going to have to go look the person up. I'm going to need to find out who they are and so on and so forth. Let's look at H.P. Lovecraft. Known racist, known homophobe. In the show Lovecraft Country cracked me up because I was like, oh, he's probably somewhere rolling over in his grave that the stars of the show are all black. And so for me, it tickles me just a little bit.
It's a great show too, by the way. Like, holy fuck.
The last episode, the way I can describe it was both disturbing and beautiful all at once.
Yes.
So, and, go ahead.
He's a great writer, but then, like, at the same time, you're totally right. He was a homophobe and a racist. So it's just, like, I want to appreciate you, but, like, your lack of appreciation for humanity is gross to me. It's so hard to walk that line. Like, Michael Jackson, that's very controversial. Like, he made great leaps and bounds in the industry, and his personal life is incredibly questionable. Me and my hubs have a conversation about this all the time. Like, where do you stand, and how do you draw the line for what was made to history and how history was made? It's hard, and it's very hard to talk about, but at the same time, it's very important, and not to, like, wash what happened. Like, you can't sweep anything under the rug.
Everything you said is absolutely important. First off, the fact that, like, these conversations are uncomfortable, it's like, well, they're kind of supposed to be uncomfortable. Because you don't really learn anything from conversations that people agree with. One of the things I love about my wife is that we do disagree on a lot of things. She's not someone who's gonna, she's gonna call me out on my bullshit. If I do something stupid, she's gonna go, that was dumb. If I'm being overly dramatic, she's gonna tell me. If I, like, you know what I mean? And I could, so I know whatever comes out of her mouth is gonna be the truth.
Yeah.
So, like, yes, I've had, so that's just on a scale of me and my wife and our marriage and our friendship. On a grander scale, people, like, I've had white friends who've come to me asking me questions, which I know must be awkward for them, because it's like, I don't want someone that, like, who's a friend of mine to feel a certain way about asking me questions. So the only thing I can do is just be as honest with them as possible without making them feel like asking these questions is a bad thing. Like, we're not going to get anywhere as people if someone says, oh, hey, well, how do you feel about that? I'm like, oh, well, fuck you. You should know better. I'm like, no, you like, how are you supposed to know these things? If, like, I don't know, like, I have friends that I can go to in the LGBTQ community because they've given me the opportunity and a space to ask these questions because I don't get it. I'm ignorant to a lot of things. So when I have questions, I ask. If I'm writing something, I'll send it to them. Like, hey, is this okay? Because I don't want to. Vida Ayala is a writer that I really, really love. And when I was writing something about them, I said, am I using the proper pronouns here? I'm 1,000 years old, so there are just things that I'm just not going to understand. And so they were like, no, I don't identify as she, so when you're speaking about me, use they, use them, or use my name. Problem solved. I'm still getting used to it. And, like, even then, people listening can probably hear me pause before I say they or them because I'm so used to saying she. But these uncomfortable conversations are things that we need to have because it's the only way we as people, as a species and a race, the human race, can move on.
Oh, no, I totally agree with you. And it's the same way. Being white, like, I always feel uncomfortable asking people of color what's the proper way to go about things, just because I don't want to offend anyone. I want to be supportive. I want to be a good person and help them. And everyone's equal. It's just, I don't want to belittle. I don't want to accidentally belittle someone. That is my greatest fear, and in the pit of my stomach, even right now, it makes me feel uncomfortable. I don't want to hurt anyone by accident. But I still ask. I just want to help.
Well, I think that's something I personally appreciate, something my wife appreciates. It's like, like I said, it's being uncomfortable isn't always necessarily a bad thing. But the fact that, like, you know, you're willing and you're trying, like, I remember when I was scrolling through Twitter and I saw you posting about, like, you know, like, you don't have to say, like, Black Lives Matter. You don't have to. You can just keep scrolling and act like nothing happened. But you do speak. And for me, I was like, okay, it's like, I always respected you as a creator. But, like, seeing the way you talk about the social injustice that you don't necessarily face, it made me respect you as a person. Because you don't have to. You could just live your life and act like none of this stuff is going on. But you don't. And I think that speaks volumes to the person that you are. And I think you should be commended for that.
Well, thank you. I don't want to even say thank you for it, because my stepmother is Black, and my nieces and nephews, who are adopted by a lesbian couple, are Hispanic and Black and disabled. It's just, I come from a very blended family, and they're all family, like, they're family. And to think that my dad, who is a white person, and his wife, who is Black, that go out in public and get stares, it pisses me off. Like, fuck you. They're happy. My dad is happy, and my stepmother is happy. How dare you fucking judge them? And then my nieces and nephews, who are loved by a family unit, I don't give a fuck that it's two women. They're happy. They're loved and they're cared for. Like, why? I don't get the hate, and it pisses me off, and I'm just more than happy to share my platform to anyone that needs it, because it's just asinine in 2020. We have so many things going on. We just proved there's fucking aliens. Like, we're still upset about same-sex couples or, like, people falling in love. There's fucking aliens. I don't get it.
I feel like the aliens look at us and go, nope.
That's how we haven't been taken over yet. They're like, oh god, let them work it out. We'll come back.
Give it 100 years, they'll kill themselves, then we'll go take everything else. Yeah. So you talk about like your stepmother and your father being a mixed couple. My wife is mixed. Her mom's white, her dad's Cape Verdean. And she was talking to someone recently, and I've had this conversation with her over and over again, just because it's a reality right now. And the idea of, like, people still look at her a certain way. Like, and when she was growing up, she wasn't quote-unquote white enough for her white friends, and she wasn't quote-unquote Black enough for her Black friends. And it's just, it's a really weird and disturbing thing, especially considering, like, she's, like, the idea of being of two races, it kind of, to me, it just kind of seems like, well, you just know two cultures. That's kind of cool to me. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's, like, I love my Black culture. I love being Black. I love my skin. I love everything about what I am. My wife has never denied who she is. Like, you know what I mean? There's things, like, for example, the stereotype that Black people don't camp. We don't camp. I've never been camping. My wife's been camping. She loves it. She's trying to get me to go. Eventually, I'm gonna go camping. I've never been to. I think it's a bonfire. I've never been to one until I was well into my 20s. I was like, holy fuck, how long have I been missing this? This is fucking fun. Like, you know what I mean? And before I met her, it took me leaving my area and working at a specific job where I was around a lot of, like, for the lack of a better term, a lot of white bars. They didn't play didn't play my music I listened to. I was just getting into rock. I was still a hip hop purist, and I didn't like pop music. And it took me to be around other cultures to realize, like, wow, kind of a dickhead. Like, you know what I mean? And it was just kind of like my judgment of people that I just didn't know. Like, you know what I mean? And that helped open my eyes up. It's like now I listen to all types of music. I'm accepting of all types of cultures. Like, you know what I mean? And even though I didn't hate another culture, excluding myself from something else didn't help the situation at all.
Oh, totally. Like, I kind of love the idea of global... Oh, man. The wine hit me. Globalization. Like, I love it because recently I've been cooking a lot of Hispanic and Southern American food. And
oh, the fried chicken you cooked made me so damn hungry.
Oh, well, I have family from the South, so that's family stuff. But fucking, I don't do the buttermilk. I know that's bad, but it turns out so good though. I've been trying other cultures' foods, and I'm trying to be as respectful as possible, following like their recipes and doing it. It's amazing. Like, holy shit. Like, I wouldn't eat just baked chicken every night. I could have risotto or jassa, or like I can make tamales. It's so good. But being respectful and being open, I think that's so great. And I honestly don't understand how people get so upset about sharing culture. I truly understand when people appropriate it and are belittling it through like dress or makeup or stuff like that. But I'm happy to share whatever the fuck my grandma taught me to you. I would love to learn that. And for you to tell that to me and make my food better what I'm doing better to understand, that's so awesome to me. I honestly don't understand how people get up so I don't understand how people get so upset about sharing culture. It just baffles me.
It is, and I'm right there with you, because and not even like I always felt like food could bring us all together. I love tamales. I love pasta. Oh my God, the first time I had Dominican food, I was in love. Caribbean food, like, it's just like all the, like, and it's funny how someone can use the same exact seasonings and then it have a completely different taste from something that, like, is far to, like, you know, completely off. It's like, for example, first time I had eggplant parmesan, I was like, oh my God, this is the greatest thing ever, and there's no meat in this. I don't eat fish, but I was in St. Thomas, and I had fish, and I loved it. When someone's Caribbean's cooking fish, I'll try it, specifically because I know the seasoning is different. My grandmother makes fried pork chops. It is the best thing I've ever had in my life to date. And my wife can use the same exact recipe, and it'll come out completely different from the exact thing that my grandmother told her to do. And it's amazing how two people can take the same thing and this, like, a pinch of something or a dash of something can turn it into something even more incredible. And we can tie that back up to race, where it's just like, why do you care? Sharing things of, like, love and, like, happiness is a good thing. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's what, like, it can bring us together. Like, it's, you get it. So yes, this is like you have Southern family. Like, I'm a Northerner. I'm Northerner as fuck. Like, the snow doesn't really bother me, but like, put me in 90 degree weather and I'm ready and you'll see me crawling on the floor. But you know what I mean? But like, Southern food, like, it speaks to my soul, it speaks to my heart, and like, it's different, but like, that brings me, it brings us together as a people. It's like, you ever heard someone go, "Oh, I don't like Mexican food"? What? Fuck out of here. Yes, you do. Oh,
man, like, okay, I am a white lady. I am from Northern Nevada, and there's great Mexican food in Nevada, but being a white lady, the best that I had was Taco Bell because I just didn't know better. I moved down to Southern California and opened up myself a little bit. Holy fuck! Like,
yeah.
I cook Hispanic meals maybe 3 out of 5 times out of the week. Like, I'm making tacos and tamales and chilaquiles, and it's just, it's great food. And I'm appreciating what I learned. And then at the same time, trying to introduce it to my own family, like when they've come down from Nevada, like making them that stuff. I think you're totally right. Food is the way to make everyone accept each other. So everyone eat a tamale. Like,
this is the way.
This is the way.
I had one of my favorite people in the world, my homegirl, Carol, she's Honduran. And when she was, and her brother used to work with me as well, and he was explaining to me, like, the difference between, like, you know, like, hot hands to cold hands of making fresh tamales, and we ordered Mexican food one day. No, sorry, we ordered Spanish food one day, because I'm not sure if it was Mexican. We ordered Spanish food one day. It might have been Honduran. And he was telling me, like, and it was, like, a specific place he wanted me to try it from. He was like, because this is the only time you'll have it and it'll be good. I used to work with another gentleman. I want to say my buddy Kenny and his mother. Shoot, I want to say she's Vietnamese. And she would cook food and he would give me some. And she got mad at him. She goes, no, if I'm going to cook him food, I'm going to bring him, like, cook, like, give him an actual, like, plate. And it was funny. I'm like, you don't have to go through all that. She goes, no, she would have been mad at me if I didn't. And Kenny was my guy, man. Like, I learned so much from, like, just, like, working with him and my homegirl Carol and my homeboy Jose, who was Carol's brother. I learned so much just being around. They were younger than me. Carol and Jose were from Honduras. They were born there, came up here. My buddy Kenny, he was born here. But, like, just the idea of, like, the culture and all that, it was all fucking love, man. It's like, and, like, it opened my eyes in general to the fact that, like, oh, because they're so much younger than me, it's like, oh, okay, like, this world is actually in a better place than it was than the people who are my age and older, because they're not shitbags. Well, not all of them, but, like, some of them, like, most of them aren't shitbags. They're trying to fight for things that make, like, life better. So before we get to a fun game, I want to ask a question. I want to mention something before we get to the game, and we can conclude, because I'm pretty sure you want to either go back to sleep or hang out with the Hubs. So, there was a specific comic that I absolutely loved, and it wasn't a funny one. It was a heartfelt one that, like, I completely understood. It was Dot checking the clock, and it was you driving. It was like you getting off of work, and it was a smile on your face. And it was literally just a quick interaction where your hubby was going to work, and you got to see him. And it was just, like, a split second. And while it was sad that you had to go home and, like, you know, you wasn't going to see him. And it was kind of a bittersweet thing. But I also understand what that's like. Because when I was working overnights and my wife was working days, it was like I'd see her for a hot second. And then I'd go home. And I'd be knocked out by the time she got home. And I'd get up. And it was like 20 minutes of seeing each other and then leaving. And amongst all, like, the fun that you have with your platform, you manage to have these really, really deep and emotional, like, comics that, like, it's cool because it's not all fun and games. And it's great that you can be this vulnerable in a situation like this and on a platform like that.
I started it as, like, a New Year's resolution, so I figured might as well roll with what I'm doing. So when I make those kind of comics, especially that one, my husband took a job where I was seeing him maybe a half hour every week, because I work a 9-to-5 and he works weekends at a very popular bar, I would run with it. So to draw it out, it was very cathartic, and it was super nice to see, like, comments, like, people like yours, like, I work at a hospital as a nurse, or I'm...
Oh, no. I am just a fat security guard, so I'm essentially a goon.
Hey, you keep the creeps out, man. Oh. But, yeah, no, man, how do I say this? I think most of my best comics, unless they're, like, the really silly ones, the best ones, like, come from personal experience like that, like, literally pulling up as he's walking to his car, or there's a comic of us walking down Hollywood Boulevard after going to a Star Wars bar.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, my God. If I ever felt like a Disney princess, it was fucking then.
Was that a real story?
Yes.
Oh my God, that is so damn cool.
This little kid, we're walking down Hollywood Boulevard, and granted, like, there's tons of people dressed up for pictures and stuff, but I just dressed up for this bar because they said dress up as Star Wars. So I did Princess Leia. We're at a stoplight. And this little boy, he couldn't be more than, like, 6. He grabs my hand, and he's like, Princess, I love you. And I'm just dying on the inside. And his mom looks at me, because if you've ever been to Hollywood Boulevard and seen the people that are dressed up, they're kind of...
creepy?
A little sketchy. Just a little bit. And I told him, thank you, and I waved to the mom, like, I promise I'm not on any drugs. I promise. But he walks away, and I'm just, like, standing there frozen, and the hubs is like, are you okay? And I was over the moon. I'm like, holy fuck, this is it. Like, that's a top memory for me, period. So,
it's the, yeah. Again, had a conversation with a buddy of mine on his show. And the innocence of a child can, like, turn your whole day around. I was, there was a family, and, like, they came in there, and they had a van, and we're not supposed to allow vans into the garage. But, like, I'm not going to turn away, like, a family full of people. And I was like, you know what, just park over there. I'll deal with the repercussions later. They come back, and they're like, oh, we need to use the bathroom. Sorry for bothering. I'm like, don't worry about it. Just go use the bathroom. It's perfectly fine. I'm reading comic books. Little kid's like, oh, what are you reading? I was like, oh, I'm reading this, and blah, blah, blah. And had a conversation with him. As they drive by, he goes, bye, Mr. Security Man. I was like, oh my God. It feels so good. And it was, like, the cutest thing ever, but it's, like, just little things like that. It's the innocence of a child, man. It's something else.
Oh, totally. Like you said, you guys are child-free, and we're probably leaning to child-free, but, fucking babies, like, they got those moments.
Yeah. So, I have a game I play, and it is called, hold it, wait, see if I actually work this time. God damn it, I can never get this thing to work the way I want to. I swear to Odin, if, like, I am the most unprofessional podcast of all time. Hold on. Let's see if it actually works. Okay, it didn't work. The name of the game is You Can Get With This or You Can Get With That. So, I specifically tailor-made this game for you. And ready for this? It is the which one of them would you rather bang version of You Can Get With This or You Can Get With That.
Alright.
Are you ready?
I'm so ready to bang.
Alright. So, we're going to start from 10. We have Zac Efron or Channing Tatum.
Can I be disappointed in both?
Look, I'm going to say this as a heterosexual male. I will not take any Zac Efron besmirchment. That man is a national treasure. He can sing his ass off. He can act. And let's be honest, he has a great body.
To be fair, like, Channing Tatum in Jump Street 21 was fucking amazing.
Yes.
But I have no sexual attraction to him. I saw Magic Mike. I'd close my eyes, but it's Zach.
A buddy of mine says that she says Channing Tatum looks like a potato.
That's not wrong.
At number 9, we have Brad Pitt or George Clooney.
God damn it. If I didn't know any backgrounds to either of them, maybe Brad Pitt, but just know how he did Jen dirty with Jolie. Like, I can't judge. Everyone's human. Everyone makes mistakes or do their own thing. I don't judge, but Clooney, because he's just open about fucking younger women, and then he married a human right player. Like, that's hot.
I ain't mad at that. Charlize Theron or Salma Hayek? I'm gonna let you know you get one of those for this round, so you want to use it now.
Fuck.
And I'm warning you, the next one may be a tough one.
Oh man, Charlize Theron.
All right.
That was.
Next up, we have Jason Momoa or Rihanna.
Rihanna.
Oh, that was okay. Fine.
That was easy.
Okay, that wasn't difficult at all. All right. This one may be easy. Jennifer Lawrence or Taylor Swift?
Do you want salt or do you want pink salt? Like.
Alrighty. Moving on. I think I know where you're going to go with this, considering the Brad Pitt conversation. I went young Angelina Jolie or young Madonna. Just remember, you're only fucking them. You're not marrying them.
Okay, fucking. Madonna.
Yeah.
She's
inky. We have Idris Elba or Dwayne Johnson?
Ooh.
And don't forget, you still have your take all three.
I think Idris Elba. He was in the Dark Tower. He's hot. Yeah.
Xena, Warrior Princess, or Wonder Woman?
Wonder Woman.
Iron Man or Batman?
Oh, fucking Iron Man. Wait, is it Robert Downey Jr.?
Yes.
Yeah, fuck yeah. Yeah, period.
it doesn't even matter which Batman it is.
It doesn't matter what Batman.
All right. Last and not least, Chris Hemsworth or Henry Cavill?
Thor or Superman?
Essentially. And I'll even give... I mean, it's not Fat Thor either.
Is Selma Hayek still an option?
All right, this has been the Old Man Wade Show. So, before we go, why don't you tell everyone where they can find you?
Oh, you can totally find me at Instagram as @_RedDot. Same with Facebook and... Or, wait, Twitter. No, Facebook you find me at the Red Dot page. Just Google it. Just Google the Red Dot comic. You'll find me. I'm there.
You also have a Patreon, which I keep forgetting to check out. Specifically because there was one comic that I'm pissed off that they censored, the Chapstick one.
Oh man, that was my first shadow ban, and I suffered greatly for it. But yeah, if you like not safe for work content, totally check out my Patreon. It's pretty much Rule 34 of myself drawn, so yeah, it's great. I look so much better in real life.
I'm going to tell everyone straight up and down, make sure you go check out the Red Dot. She's one of the few people that I look forward to daily. The weekends, I know you do the throwback ones, but they're still absolutely funny. A personal favorite is the genie and the teacup from Beauty and the Beast. And it was like, let's never do this again. You can assume where they went with that. I may be a little Red Dot fanboy when it comes to like the stuff you do, and especially the dots throughout time. And what was it? What was the most recent one? I was told by one of them to answer these questions now. No, they never grew. We bought them. I was like, Jesus Christ. And it's follow the Red Dot. You'll love them. Man, woman, whatever. You will absolutely love the Red Dot. Make sure you find her on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. If you're on Red Dot. No, not Red Dot. Wow. If you're on Reddit, don't be an asshole. Yeah, I think that's pretty much about it. Do we have any parting words?
Live long and prosper.
Oh, you know what? I got a good one. If you're gonna try a wine, what should you try?
Oh, totally Pomerols. Like, it's a French Bordeaux that I don't know the like certain bullshit of, but it tastes really good. It's earthy, has fruit notes. If I'm celebrating anything, I drink Pomerol. But it's expensive, so I don't buy it.
Damn it, Wade!